ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode. Host Bingo Harrisonburg podcast.
That's right. It's a small town.
It is a small town. Yep. And something about royalty. So if you've heard perfect. In the past, we dove into these vanity episodes where we talked about our music. Well, we've had so much fun, we're doing it again, a third time, and this one even has a little bit of a theme.
What?
After digging in a little deeper into some of the stuff that we did, I think each one of us has something to share from the deeper past. The
pin. You know, right? Those embarrassing photos of yourself, yes, as a teenager? This, right, is kind of like that.
Yeah.
20 years ago.
Or longer.
Yeah. Or longer.
Yeah.
Ooh. And so we've received so much.
Middle age is weird.
Praise, yes, for the other two episodes.
The other
two episodes. Yeah. They said,
my
if
God,
you could just do one, can more.
You,
like,
can
that,
you give us more of that?
Yeah. At least three people loved it.
And this is for Grayson, I think. That, maybe, right, you know. So, Grayson, thank you. This one's for you,
dear listener.
Dear listener. Let's. My favorite is the Flight of the Conchords. They call their one person their fan base because it sounds more full. So yes, this one is for our fan base. We're going to talk about some music we did.
Thanks again, Grayson.
So from the past. So this time I get to start.
Hey.
Now what I'm gonna play, and I was very lucky how this turned out. However, I'm gonna throw this out. This was like the first time I got a sequencer on a PC, and I was like playing around with it and hitting record and seeing what I could do.
Nerd, actually, was like, music.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. It was the first time I was able to buy my own laptop, and I'm sitting there digging around, you know, and whatnot. And I bought the microphone I used for this was one of those PC microphones.
Oh, I remember.
It's for dictation.
Yeah, you know? Cool. Yeah.
So we're not, this is low quality.
It was very long.
A little desk microphone. So the quality on this is questionable. I'll throw that out right now.
Sure.
But I had a lot of fun. It was one of the first times I truly was able to kind of build a song of my own. So it's a looping thing. You got to
Keep
going. It was on a creative period.
It was a creative period, yes. I believe the year was 1997-ish. So around that time.
That checks.
I was having fun with the vocals and the harmonies. And anyways, this is what it turned out to be. Oh, of course, it's going to
be weird. Push the button.
I've got to push the button. Yeah. Here we go.
Cool.
Wow.
Get that looping drum there.
Yeah.
Oh, you're so good at harmony.
Oh, thanks.
I feel like I'm playing Donkey Kong Jr. right now.
I feel like the acid is just starting to kick in.
I was into some spoken word stuff at the time, so
yeah.
Fight out. They are your brother. Fight out. Their sister too. Fight out. The son, the daughter.
Fight out. Danny and you. Cultural appropriation was big in the 90s, man.
You know, it is what it is.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Put a spotlight on it. It's fine.
Right now, we walk together. Right now, we hand in hand. Right now, for all each other. Right now, here are demands. Right now, you can't deny us. Right now, we want we all. Right now, forever and ever. Right now, we hear the call. If you open, and then I did try to put a little bit of a break in it.
Where that quality microphone comes through.
It even sounds pretty good, honestly.
Yeah. This is the two. Light out. The sun, the daughter. Light out. The me and you. We are hot people in his eyes.
A little too religious for me now, I think.
I wish I could do that with my voice.
I wish you could too. Sorry, too much stuff there in Waldorf is a good.
Well, here we go. Here's the drama. Are you ready for it? It's going to drop. Technology was there, and I was like, okay, this is fun.
Yeah, no, it's cool. I mean, I should say, I love listening to the Donkey Kong soundtrack. I mean, it actually is. It's
thank
great.
You.
It's
cultural appropriation.
Oh, sorry.
Donkey Kong soundtrack.
That was a little harsh. Yeah.
All right. I can't wait to hear what you guys bring to the table from 1997. You were shaking a rattle at one point, right?
But it's good. It is
well
it is it, it is yeah, really good. And I'm just jealous I can't sing as well as you.
No. Don't be jealous.
You have different styles.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's not a different
Yeah.
It's not
a different level of quality. It's just a different quality than a different tone.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
It's a gift.
Thank you very much. Yeah. I appreciate it.
And just like that, I get to play a song. Hey, what's up? The song I have chosen is also from the past.
Ooh, the past.
I'm going to say 2005 was when I recorded this, so it's almost 20 years old. This song is going to feature...
It's old enough to vote and fight in the army, not quite old enough to drink.
No, 1997.
It's no 97. I'm convinced that was 98 or 99.
Okay, it might have been 98.
Yeah. Who's going to argue over years?
That's
me?
Right.
You just said.
Yeah.
So this is going to feature my old band called the Red River Roller Coaster. So it's got Mariana Bowling is going to be playing the violin. Chris Harmon is going to play upright bass, and he's also singing the killer back the vocal on this song, which is awesome. He does the harmony, which is my favorite part of the song. Doug Pitts plays a banjo, which is a six-string banjo. And then Dave Abbott is going to play a little mandolin. He plays the mandolin kind of like a guitar, so it's more of a strumming mandolin on this. And
you know, there's a lot of that in this group, with the whole the mandolin being played like a guitar. The banjo, which is played and strung like a guitar, but sounds like a banjo, which some people hate. Some people hate that instrument, which is interesting.
And so my wife, Mariana, she plays the violin and not the fiddle.
And she plays it like drums.
Somehow she's playing it like... No, it's funny. It is the same instrument, but you'll hear it.
Yeah, right.
It's not... She's not doing double stops, and she's...
Right.
She's
right.
not... She's very... It's very...
The tone makes mellifluous and not all scratchy and hillbilly.
Yeah. It's
mellifluous. What the heck does that mean?
I have no idea.
I'll look
like
it up later.
Though.
I hope it's made.
What I like about what she does is that as you hear her violin part come in, it's nonstop and it just kind of flows through the song. She does that. That's her MO. I wrote this song because I wanted to tell a story, because that was the cool thing to do. You got to tell a story about a guy and a girl running off and getting away and being in love. And there it is. You know, they're going to start anew. And so that's what this song's about. It's called Love Is...
What's the album?
Oh, you'll find it if you go to, I have a best of Red River Roller Coaster 2005 to 2009 or something like that on Spotify, because this stuff didn't make it at that time. But it's called Love Is Contagious.
Love is a feeling and it must be contagious, though we suffer greatly for the sickness. She said, I need new
You know what's funny? Both our voices, you can hear them sound younger.
Oh, I know.
Right?
It's scary.
Yeah.
So I give her my hand. Yeah. It's much higher.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. I said I got
enough change. And, you know, younger.
Womp womp.
Doesn't necessarily mean better.
Yeah.
Just in pop music.
Yeah, right.
I think, yeah, this is Doug's solo, which is great.
Oh, yeah. And that's that banjar.
Yeah, and we recorded this in a living room, so
nice.
Live.
Was that at Dave's?
At Dave's house, yeah.
Oh, and this song has a nice breakdown too, right? That little stop.
I like it.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Awesome. Nice little break.
Yeah. You know, I probably
Did you ever find out?
I probably saw True Romance too many times
right.
in this period of my life.
So
I give her my hand. I wonder if Chris does the high harmony here again. And we
got new clothes. Oh, yeah. The notes he chooses there are awesome.
Yeah, they are. They really are.
Yeah, it's like a seventh or something.
Oh, yeah. It's a wild
music
one.
Music theory.
But it's, yeah.
It's cool. And if you don't believe me,
just give it a try. Yeah. Anyways, it's a short one, but I've cool. always been a fan of that.
That whole album, that whole group, that whole time, it just sounds like you're having fun.
There's a brightness to the
I'll context. At that particular time, there was the old Crow Medicine Show was regularly still coming through here.
Mm-hmm.
The Hackensaw Boys were still a huge group of like 15 people,
right.
And they would
they were a power group,
and they were this powerhouse group, and there was just a lot. I mean, I felt like, oh man, if you don't have a big string band, forget it.
Right.
I mean, you know, and I wanted a big string band, and I was so. I mean, to have Harmon is so talented, such a good bass player, such a good singer. My wife was not a fiddle player, but is such a good violin.
Yeah.
And so the three of us were just, and then we eventually started picking up more folks as we started as we wanted a bigger sound as you do.
Yeah.
But it's just that particular time. I mean, I would also say that like this is goofy, but Old Brother, Where Art Thou?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Came out not that long.
No, that drastically changed.
It really did. Yeah. It surged the whole.
Yeah. All that really just. I remember seeing Gillian Welsh in like in Farmville, and there was like me and maybe like 30 other people.
Yeah.
I mean,
right.
Like seriously, it was like her and David Rawlings, and no one were there. And then all of a sudden, it was like she was.
Yeah, there she is in the Grammys.
Yeah.
There they are.
Yeah. And she's in the movie. And
yeah,
it was. Anyways, long story short, it was a cool time to play music in the Valley.
Yeah,
I would say that kind of music was very well received. So,
very cool.
Yeah, it's a good time.
All right, so Chris and Mike were very patient just now as I hemmed and hawed and scrolled through these things and exhibited all
Well, if
all
we're known for nothing, it's our patience.
With
really,
me.
That's right.
So, you know, I'm pretty happy with the music I've made in the last 10 years. Really, around 2013, kind of made the sound I wanted to make.
What changed in 2013?
I had a that's yeah I uh
You always ask these questions that make him stutter. We're good. No, that's good.
Did you start taking yourself seriously in 2013?
I started watching Jimmy Stewart movies. I didn't start taking myself seriously so much as I started taking this little medication. Because it turns out I have bipolar disorder. And so I think you hear the bipolar disorder more strongly in the music I made. From 1997 to 2012, and all that's available publicly, and I think it's interesting and maybe brave or foolish of me to keep it online and available, and nothing really goes out of print on the internet anyway.
Right, and you know it's interesting. There is a vulnerability of having things out there. It is.
Oh yeah,
it's a weird feeling.
Yeah.
But it's definitely a real thing.
Yeah. If nothing else, maybe, you know, if I continue to get better as a musician and sure. as a person, and end up making something that people really like.
Listen how I'm turning into a good person now. That's
right. Well, you know, but then. You know, people could listen to the earlier stuff and it could give them hope. Right. You know, right?
this is very superficial, but so the other day I made a video telling people, hey, come check out this song. And as I watched the video, I thought, that's what my eyebrows look like. And I couldn't stop looking at my eyebrows. Like, but they don't normally look like that. Do I not have any eyebrows on the sides? And then I was like, did I do something to them? And yeah, no. It was all in my head.
Oh,
yeah. What I'm trying to say is like, I think my eyebrows are fine.
Right. But, so that's...
All right. Well, I'm glad we worked that out.
But I think that what happens is you see or hear something that is you, that was once you, that is not you at this moment.
Yeah.
And it goes, and you go, something's wrong with that.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
You're not going to, no one loves them. Maybe we should love ourselves more.
Maybe we should.
So,
teach us, Dan. Teach us. How do we love?
I, man.
Teach us. Do we need the pill?
I don't know. I know that my life has been a lot easier since I started taking this little
pill awesome.
Every day.
Awesome.
But so I'm going to play a tune from 2003. In fact, go ahead and start it. It's got sort of an intro.
Mm. All right. And the name of the song is?
The name of the song is One.
One.
Fantastic.
And the name of the album is Solipsism. So solipsism, a solipsism is a real word that sort of means like reality exists because we perceive it, or reality exists because of the perceiver, something along those lines.
You're your own author.
My eyebrows are weird in my mind.
So I took solipsism and schism, and I put them together, solipsism, which I thought was neat. And I...
Where'd you get that baby crying from?
That's me playing electric guitar. No babies were hurt in the production of this album. It's 10 years before I found, you know, a psychotropic medication to help with the bipolar disorder. So instead I was going to see this Jungian therapist a lot. And in fact, I made this album right before I started therapy. And I gave the album to the psychotherapist along with the lyrics all written out. And I was like, here, this is what you need to diagnose me.
Maybe this will help. That's not a bad idea, though.
Yeah.
I don't know that it helped, but, you know.
He got
$75 from me and whatever he got out of the insurance company. And
I was curious how you paid him, yeah.
Yeah, cash. I had some weird effect on my vocal. I wasn't happy with how thin and young I sounded at the time. Now I wish I was thinner and younger.
I dig it.
You haven't heard. One hungry smile knows all the while.
Would you say,
I dig it,
at this point in your musical Were you listening to? It just feels like Trent Reznor. It does have a little.
Yeah, yeah. I think there was some of that. Certainly a ton of Pink Floyd.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pink Floyd and Bob Dylan were the two major touchstones. I don't know. I think I'd realized Radiohead were cool at this point. Mm. Yeah. Both Radiohead and the Flaming Lips.
Oh, this is really good.
Right on.
I dig it.
Right on. Yeah, I think about every 10 years I put out a good one, you know? This was from 2003. 2013 was a good year. This has been a good year. 2033 is going to be amazing.
Well, you know, I mean, like, listening to all your previous stuff, you always have layers.
Yeah. I think it's because of Floyd and that whole world, you know, well, Pink Crimson, Genesis, that whole thing.
With this one, those layers seem like they're kind of intertwined with each other. They're playing back and forth a little bit, which is cool.
Yeah.
But I'll sort of, you know, I've said it before, I think it reminds me of that Leonard Cohen. Cohen did a really interesting thing in the, like, maybe late 80s, 90s, you know. Waiting for a Miracle. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Like, something in that realm.
Well, and that probably, you know, we were going to the Little Grill and and open mic nights. We were seeing Old Crow and Hackensaw Boys get their start and figure out what they were going to do. And then the other nights we were listening to Leonard Cohen on the speakers and in the Little Grill. Leonard Cohen and Talking Heads. And
well, I was going to say, I mean, that would also be the era in which I was probably seeing Fish and, you know. Yeah. It's very, very, I mean, explored lots of fun music in that time.
Yeah. I had a roommate for a little while that had like 3,000 vinyl records, and he listened to all this weird music, you know. So, and it was sort of before the internet would let you could fade it out. All these songs are connected together, you know. It was really kind of before. Nowadays, college kids have heard of like Can, the German rock band from the 70s,
that
were a major influence on Radiohead, you know.
Right.
Because there's the internet and everything's available,
and
you can follow these little paths from one thing you like to another thing you like.
Yeah.
But even in 2000 or 2001, it was still sort of you read the liner notes and you, I like this person. Yeah. What else does this person do? And oh my God, they're in the liner notes for this other album. And you would follow that, or you'd follow what record label.
Then you had to go to the library and read a book.
Right.
What? Yeah.
So I was really lucky to have this weird roommate that had all these weird albums.
Nice.
So I listened to a lot of weird music.
Well, it reminds me of a moment in my, I remember Mark Lane.
Yeah.
Where is a mutual friend.
Yeah.
I remember going to his house, and I just remember the day that he was a much better guitar player than I ever was. And I remember talking to him about Neil Young, and then he showed me, like, he's like, oh, he had written down the chords and written down the words to a bunch of stuff from the Neil Young Unplugged album.
Okay.
That came out on MTV.
Yeah.
And I was like, I love that stuff.
Yeah.
I just remember those, like, pre-internet.
Yeah, of course.
When you discover someone who likes the same stuff you do, and you're physically writing it down on a piece of paper. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You're writing the little G and the C and the A minors, and you're like, and it takes time. It takes like energy.
Yeah.
Not that the internet is bad.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. But there's something about that time and energy, that like place where you sit with a candle, and right, you know, right. and you're in your world, you're in your end zone. You don't have to have a candle,
yeah.
But you know what I'm saying? Like you're in
a flashlight is fine.
But you're in your own place, and you're listening to music, and you soak it in, and you want to learn it. You want to that song is so good. That lyric is so good. I'm going to write it down on this piece of paper. I want to memorize it. I don't know. There's something beautiful about. I'm not there anymore. It might be a youth thing. It might be a teenager thing.
No, I mean I think it's still those moments are there. They're a little more difficult to find as you age, I think. But they're still there, and when you do find them, they feel even a little bit more special. I think
when Radiohead puts out new albums, I feel that way.
Yeah,
I listen to it or I watch them play stuff and. On the internet, you know, and I, it's really inspiring. It puts me in some other place, you know, or some of the modern pop music. And because I don't listen to radio, I have no idea what the heck is going on.
Sure, right.
So when I do hear some pop song, it just blows my mind, right. Man.
Yeah, they got it down to a science, literally a science.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah,
you know, Miley Cyrus.
She's amazing.
I was listening to her song today.
Holy moly.
And I was working at a middle school, at Stuart Strath Middle School.
Yeah.
And they were playing her song while the kids were playing volleyball.
Yeah.
And I was like, my God, this song is meant for this situation.
Yeah, right.
I mean,
now.
It just
right here
was,
it is.
It
yeah.
just
yeah.
felt right.
Yeah.
The
soundtrack
beat was
to life
good.
Here,
yeah.
now.
Beat was
yeah.
good. Middle school.
Man.
Hitting a ball back and forth, screaming.
Miley Cyrus did an album with the Flaming Lips. And it's called Miley Cyrus and Her Dead Pets. And pets is spelled with the letter Z. And the record label let her put it out for free on the internet.
Wow, okay.
And this was 5 or 10 years ago, I think, at this point. I don't remember. I don't know. I'm getting older by the day. but, you know.
By
I
the
actually,
hour, even.
By the hour. By the moment. And, you know, I worry a little bit for her, and I worried a little bit for the Flaming Lips, because it seemed a little... There was actually a little too much vulgarity and a few too many drug references for my liking, which is weird because I like it when musicians refer to drugs and use vulgarity more often than not. I think that's neat, but it was a little worrisome for me. But it's a beautiful album.
And that's her
dead pets thing. What she's talking about. The pets that she's had that have passed away that she loved, and it's very sweet actually.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
I had this joke. I was like, that one song called Let's Have.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, there it is.
Oh, man.
Maybe we should just end it with that.
Yeah,
good
probably
night,
ought to.
Everybody.
Thanks very much.
You know what? Our songs, that was a lot of fun, guys.
That was a lot of fun. You know, well, we've gotten so much feedback from our listeners for these things.
Yeah.
We may have to do another one of these episodes at some point. We'll see where it goes. But thank you very much. It's been fun.
Thanks so much. Walk down memory lane.
And we're not saying have a good night, right? Because these people could be listening to this anytime. So have a good
morning.
Have a good, have present moment.
Have a good time.
Have a good time.
Have a good time. See you guys.
Bye.
Bingo is Life, a post-bingo Harrisonburg podcast, is brought to you by the Brothers Howdeshell and our friends at Ruby's Arcade in downtown Harrisonburg, Virginia. If you've enjoyed the show and feel it's worth spreading a little joy in this world, please tell just one person that you like this podcast. Word of mouth, more than any other form of promotion, is how creative works get noticed and sustain themselves. Thank you, Andrew Hickey, for that bit of wisdom, and thank you, listeners, for being part of the fun.